Welcome in to the latest episode of the Five on the Floor podcast here on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Big day today for so-called Five Reasons Nation. I don't know if we can call it that yet. But we've got a couple of big things coming up, including a video that you've got to check out on our YouTube channel. I'll tell you more about it as we go. And also, I'm finally releasing a story on Jimmy Butler, which we're going to talk about a little bit today on this episode and more on a future episode. But before we do, I want to tell you about a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You out there on the roads and you see all those Uncle Sam's and Lady Liberties twirling their signs, that can mean only one thing. It's tax season. But instead of losing your hard-earned cash to companies that hide behind a costume or DIY software that specializes in headaches, give Palacio, Palacio, and Zimmerman a call. That's Palacio, Palacio, Zimmerman, PPZ, which has been providing premium accounting and tax services to clients for over 25 years. They'll make the filing process simple through close one-on-one support and maximize your return using their exceptional expertise. So if you're ready to file, call 305-595-0303. That's 305-595-0303, or visit ppzllc.com. That's ppzllc.com. And now, today's episode.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a Miami Heat and NBA podcast from Ethan Skolnick with Alphon Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. Brought to you by the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back. A little bit of full disclosure here. We're actually doing this one in the morning, which we don't typically do. Alf, how you doing this morning?
I'm awake.
That's right. That's all you got to be. So you realize we could have done this last night. He and I are like texting back and forth for 20 minutes.
I was a shell of myself. I didn't get into, I didn't land till 9:45. Didn't get home till I think almost 11:30. Yeah. It wasn't going to go well last night.
I stayed in last night. That's the first time I've done that when I haven't had, you know, obviously my daughter here in, a while. Anyway, Alf, let's go through what happened last night while you were flying. Jimmy Butler was not named a starter to the All-Star team, and I was a little surprised at this, not based on what I initially thought was going to happen, which I remember tweeting on the day that he was listed as a forward that he probably would not start on the team, because I knew that Embiid and Giannis would, and I was pretty sure that Siakam would too, even though he'd been out for some time, because the Toronto player always makes it, because all of Canada gets behind him. So I thought at the time when Jimmy was listed as a front court player, and we can talk about that too and why that was, or why maybe it shouldn't have been, that he wasn't going to start. But then we saw in the voting that he was fourth, which is what I expected, and obviously the top three are the starters. But of course, then, you know, you allow the players and the media to get involved. And when I started to see some of the media ballots and I talked to people close to Jimmy, they were pretty confident that he was going to start. They thought that he would get the nod as one of the three, because they thought that particularly the media, but into some degree, the players would push him over the top. The players did not push him over the top. The players had him sixth, Alf, in the front court, sixth, not just behind those couple guys, those three guys I mentioned, but also his teammate, Bam Adebayo, and Jason Tatum of the Celtics.
That's just so ridiculous.
Right. Well, which one? I mean, let's talk about this first. Let's talk about the Bam-Jimmy thing, because Bam didn't make it either, but I think it shows what the players think of him. He's going to make the team. We did an episode about whether he would. I think it's pretty clear now he will. But, like, okay, the Bam-Jimmy debate, you and I have had it. I've had it with Alex. Who's more important to this team? You know, we've gone back and forth on it, but I also think that, you know, it's a little odd to me that in his first year of doing this, the players chose Bam over Jimmy, who has a track record of doing this. Is that just hate?
That is just, it's complete hate. And it's so funny how the players will sit there and say, oh, the fans can't have a vote because they're biased. Look at the players' vote. Jason Tatum has been an all-star this year, is more deserving of an all-star start this year than Jimmy Butler. It's a popularity contest. They're just as biased as fans are. I mean, even when you see them when they're doing analysis after their careers, these guys carry a bunch of chips on their shoulder.
Kendrick Perkins?
Kendrick Perkins, my God. I mean, oh God. What a roller coaster.
He's just got beefs every day. That's all. It's just beefs. Yeah, he's got more beefs than he had points per game. I know. It's crazy.
But he's Barkley with Twitter. I mean, Barkley's been doing that on NBA Countdown for how many years? Yeah,
Barkley's a Hall of Famer. Kendrick Perkins.
He still swears that he's like was the biggest piece of that Oklahoma City team. But anyway,
they built around him. That's right.
Yeah, and he got exposed in the finals when, for some reason, Scott Brooks decided that he could guard Shane Battier. Which, thank you, Scott Brooks, by the way.
Right.
But no, it's just funny. Like that's the part that makes it kind of hilarious to me that. The players they talk about the fan vote. People talk about the fan vote. Oh, let players decide. Let this decide. Listen, everybody's biased. Like there's no perfect system because the media is biased. We see that with Hall of Fame voting in other sports.
But the media is the best of the three, though. I know Barkley said that yesterday.
I think the coaches are the best of all of them.
Right, but they didn't have a big.
They don't get they get the reserves, and the reserves are always right. They always get the reserves right.
Yeah, no, they do. And then they used to have the commissioner would jump in if he has to jump in at the end. But you know, you're totally right. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to say that the fans are better than the players when, you know, a white dude with a headband who averages 5.5 points per game was fourth in guards in the West, in Alex Caruso. I mean, it's a little difficult for me to go there. But I think, you know, look, you can make a legitimate case for Siakam. Like, it's not like it was a ridiculous vote. I mean, Embiid's out. But he's one of the three best front court players in the East when he's healthy, you know. But with Siakam, you can make a case for. There's no question he missed time, but he's been tremendous. Toronto has exceeded expectations, even though they're the defending champions, and he deserves consideration. Let's go to the original decision because some fans are upset about this, and I said it at the time, like putting Jimmy as a front court player was going to make it more challenging for him. But the Heat are partially to blame for this. I mean, you know. There's a reason that Eric Reed lists Nunn and Duncan Robinson as the starting backcourt every night because that's how the Heat are viewing him. I know they're positionless, but they've said it all year, right? So now the only thing I will say is Duncan was also listed as a front court player for All-Star, right? So they're saying, was the NBA basically saying that Kendrick Nunn is the Heat's only guard? Because
three forwards and a center is what they're basically saying.
They're basically saying the Heat are doing that. When you can actually argue that what the Heat are really doing is three guards and
one forward and a center.
Right. So
or two centers.
Right. So somebody sarcastically, I knew it was sarcastic because it's a guy I follow, threw out there, blame Spo. But, you know, of course, there were actual real people out there blaming Spo for this.
So ridiculous.
There always are.
My favorite was somebody said Spo did it on purpose to energize Jimmy, to give him a chip on his shoulder.
Chestnut checkers, right? That's like that's like that one guy. There's this one guy on Twitter who is convinced that Riley called his old friend Pop and told him, make sure Bam doesn't make the team this summer, the USA team, because I want to piss off Bam when he comes back. Like and I know that like Pop is like Riley's only relationship in the league like that. Like he doesn't have a lot of them. Okay. I mean, there's been a lot of resentment of Pat through the years. I think some of it is thought.
Fizdale. He has Fizdale. Well, when he gets a job again,
Fizz is not in the league. He's just on the payroll. Yeah. It's not that you could say that about every Knicks coach. But look, you know, he has a relationship with Pop. Okay. There's mutual respect there. Even it's fascinating relationship to me because politically they couldn't be more polar opposite and, you know, but they click. Okay. There's this old school kind of, you know, thing about both of them and it's fine. They respect each other. And actually Spo pulled the Pop move the other night. The 5-for-5 sub, which actually Spo, and I'm digressing here, but Spo, told me yesterday, down that it was the second time he's done that. He did that actually in a game in 2016 against the Nets. I did not remember that. But anyway, there's a lot of similarity between the two of them. And so, you know, this idea that Riley called Pop and said, yeah, you know, Bam of all people needs to be more motivated, right? Like that guy. You know, I mean, with Hassan, I can understand it, but like,
yeah, Bam? I don't think Jimmy Bam. I don't think those are the kind of guys you need extra motivation for. I know. I mean, Jimmy's going to play with a chip on his shoulder either way.
Right.
And as far as the All-Star starters, I don't have a big problem with it. Like I Christian Hernandez, who works with us and works with Heat Beat, put out all these stats that showed, I mean, how many categories Butler was over Siakam in. But at the same time, listen, you got both of those teams that are vying for second or third place
right.
in the East, where Jimmy was added to a team that missed the playoffs last year, and Toronto lost Kawhi Leonard. Right. So with those two guys leading those teams, like you really, I mean, is can you really argue that no. fervently that Butler deserved it over Siakam?
Not over Siakam. I mean, I think he did, but I don't. Right, I don't think it's a big difference. I think you can argue he was one of the five best players, and that absolutely, he should have been, and that he should have been listed in the backcourt. And if he was, he would have made it. That's the one you can argue. That's
oh my God! Out. First of all, yeah. like, and I said it on Twitter yesterday, and there's a couple of people that got mad that I said he doesn't deserve it, and it's not. Yes, I know he can score like crazy, but he's on one of the worst teams in the league, mm-hmm. and he plays some of the worst defense I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, he's not an All Star yet. He's not. He will be, but he's not. We talk about the Steph comparison. But remember, you know, Steph, you know, they lost some at the very beginning, and then he had the ankle problems. So he didn't explode out of the gate like this. But when he started to explode, they won. Now, you can say, well, they had Clay, and they had David Lee at the time, and they had some other blood. But when he started to explode, they won. This team is not winning. It's not like they're not winning. It's like it's one thing if Atlanta had Orlando's record or had, you know, even Detroit's record.
Yeah, like they were fighting for an eighth seed.
Right, but with that record, like I just and look, to me, it's still better than Kyrie having made it. Like the problem there was that the three guys competing, I thought only one was deserving, which was Kemba. You could make a better argument for Lowry, even though he's missed time. You can make a better argument. Well, and his shooting percentage is low. You can make a better argument for Dinwiddie. I think we did. There's other guys there that, but it should have been Jimmy. Like that's the thing. And so people were saying we should just eliminate positions. I mean. Originally, it was center, forward, guard. Like, they've actually eliminated the wall between center and forward. I don't know if you want to eliminate positions entirely and end up with five guards one year. But, you know.
Five. I mean, it's going to be five small forwards.
It's going to be five small forwards, right? It'll be five wings.
People get too wrapped up in the All-Star voting. Like, who really – like, honestly, does Jimmy even care if he's a reserve or a starter?
Well, it's interesting. Okay, that's the next topic here. First thing, I think Jimmy's going to end up starting because I don't think Embiid's going to play. So I think Jimmy's going to end up being a starter. So I think this is all going to be a moot point. But the second thing is I did talk to some people around Jimmy last night. They didn't seem to care. They thought he'd make it, but they were like, okay, whatever. I mean, there was one person I communicated with who was, you know, making a pretty basically the Christian Hernandez case for him over Siakam. But I don't think it's a big deal to him. Now, I will tell you that I had something set up with him last night and it didn't end up happening. Maybe that's why. But it's going to happen today. But yeah, is it going to motivate him? I mean, can anything motivate him more? I'm not really sure. I mean, he kind of hates the world in a good way anyway, right? Like, so he'll play some more country music tonight and get back on the court. Like, I don't even know
if that kind of game – does that game kind of game even interest Jimmy with his competitive nature?
Remember, he sat
nature?
Out 2 years ago, remember? Remember?
Yeah.
He asked not to play, if you recall. I wonder if that played into it. It played in the player vote. Remember, you don't remember that?
Yeah, I do. I remember. That's what I'm saying.
Two years ago.
I don't feel like this game, this atmosphere is even conducive to who Jimmy is.
You know who's going to take it more personally? His teammates. And that's what I want to get into here. I don't think it's him. I think that there's a bond. Well, I know there's a bond because I've got a piece coming out on it today where I talked to 10 of his teammates about their first encounters with Jimmy. I want to save a lot of it till after it runs. We'll talk about it on Monday or over the weekend. But yeah, I mean, I think it's more them. I mean, Myers Leonard came out on Twitter last night and was like, it's a travesty or something like that, that him and Lillard don't make the team. Now, he has a real personal relationship with Lillard. I love Dame Lillard, but I would tell Myers, how do you argue for Damian Lillard? As much as I hate watching James Harden play, how can you argue for Lillard over Harden or Doncic this year? I mean, Luke is an all-star. I mean, come on. The fans got that one right. And I hate watching Harden play more than I hate anything about the NBA. But, I mean, he's an all-star. I mean, you know, he's carrying that team. Sometimes he carries it into a ditch, but I mean, he's carrying it. And you can't argue that, but I thought it was interesting that Myers came out there. And I can tell you that there will be guys in that locker room who are pissed off about it. And so I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad that it happened because he's going to end up starting anyway. Like, he fans are going to see him anyway. So it is probably the best outcome. But I think it speaks to a little bit of kind of again, the attitude towards Jimmy around the league, it does raise the question again, because we always talk about guys wanting to play with Jimmy. And if you read my story today, you'll see that the players on this team do. But there's always going to be that perception of, is a star going to want to play with Jimmy? Particularly if it's a star who feels entitled, who gets a lot of money, because that's not really Jimmy's thing. You know, I mean, Jimmy got a lot of money, but he doesn't. Jimmy relates better to the guys who were picked in the draft somewhere around where he was, and he was picked 30th. And this team has a lot of those guys, or some who weren't picked at all. Okay, so I just wonder, do you think, I guess before we get to tonight's game between the Heat and the Clippers, do you think that this signifies anything in terms of a Giannis or somebody else wanting to play with Jimmy Butler? The fact that the players had him behind Jason Tatum in the All-Star vote.
I really don't, because it's always we've seen some missteps, but then we've also seen the Heat get back to what they've always been about recently, where they go after guys that fit their culture. Any guy that fits their culture, the guys that they're looking for are veterans who want to win. And those guys are done playing games. They're done worrying about, the outfits before games. They're done worrying about all the other stuff. They want to win. They want to work hard. They want to do whatever they have to do. Those are the guys that the Heat are looking for. And those are the guys that want to come play with Jimmy Butler. And there are young guys that – look at the young guys on the Heat that grind and want to play with Jimmy Butler. I don't think it's – I mean, there's those guys, there's guys out there like Kat and Andrew Wiggins and some of the young guys on the Bulls that don't like Jimmy. And there's probably – and the All-Star voting shows that there's probably more of those guys in the league than there are Jimmy guys. But we already knew that, right?
Right.
We already knew the Heat culture guys are not a dime a dozen. They're kind of, they're diamonds in the rough. You got to find those guys. So we already knew that about the NBA. We knew that about the NBA players. And that's why I said it's no more important than a fan vote. And the fan vote was better than the player vote, in fact.
It was, except for Alex Caruso. Okay, that's and Taco Fall.
I mean, the media had Taco Fall 7, did they not?
No. The media had no.
I think the media had Taco Fall. Somebody said that on Twitter. I didn't check.
Somebody said that on Twitter. We're going to have to make that a segment. Somebody
sauces.
Said that on Twitter.
No, sauces.
They did not. Sauces. All right, so anyway, that's the end of it for now. Bam's going to make the team. We've had that previous debate, but I think the voting is pretty clear now. And, you know, that the coaches are not going to allow him not to make the team. So Bam and Jimmy are going to be there. The only question remains, and we're going to talk about something team-related in a second. Will the Heat coaching staff be there? Because Eric Spoelstra typically hasn't wanted to be there. But, of course, he might be coaching a certain Milwaukee Buck, and that wouldn't be a bad thing in the future. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. I'm kind of a schlep. People who know me know that. Pretty much wore a New York Giants jacket all through college. I didn't know if Alf knew that, by the way. I don't know if I should admit that. But I'm getting some help from our new sponsor, Servani Men's Custom Clothier. If it's frustrating for you to shop for dress clothes, you never seem to find the right fit, color, or style, or maybe you feel like you never know what to wear or how to wear it, you've got a wedding, special event, or you just wear professional attire daily, maybe you wear cargo shorts, something on that in a second. That's why you've got to go see Blanca over at Servani Men's Custom Clothier in South Miami. The private showroom located right across from Sunset Place on Red Road. It's right above Shula's, actually, down there, if you're aware of that location. Servani has been designing fine custom-made clothing in South Miami for over 30 years. It's amazing how many people, since I've done these ads, have told me that they know Blanca down there. Your custom-made suits, pants, shirts, and shoes will fit just the way you like. So schedule a private consultation with Blanca to start looking your best and get the benefit of a female's perspective on men's fashion. My daughter's very happy with the clothes. Give her a call at 305-310-2085. That's 305-310-2085. Nothing fits like custom tailored clothes. Stop buying off the rack. And yes, Alf, she has cargo shorts. She can get you cargo shorts emblazoned with Alf on it.
I'm so excited.
Alf 954, that's our next run in March.
Branding.
Once I'm done picking my clothes, it is branding. I've got EJS on the side, but you can go with Alf. Let's get to Heat Clippers tonight, ESPN. ESPN has descended on this place. Nick Friedell is here. Ramona Shelburne is here. I'm going to try to get Ramona on the pod next week. I had the thing yesterday. I went down to talk to Jimmy, and, of course, he was absconded by ESPN. So they found us, Alf. That our little secret is no more. Everyone at ESPN is going to be claiming they had them as a 2 seed from the beginning of the season. We know that. 55 wins. We always knew it. Spo, Butler, Bam. We saw Bam coming. Colin Coward, who didn't, and I know he's not ESPN anymore, but Colin Coward, who did not know who the hell Bam was when Joy Taylor told him, is going to now say that Bam is the best big in the league.
Those brothers, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero.
That's right.
Shoot it from the parking lot.
That's right.
That was my Stephen A. impression.
Light skin flingers. Yeah, right. yeah, that's what we're going to get. And but this is a big game. I mean, I don't know who the hell's playing for the Clippers. I don't feel like they ever play their starting group.
They're going to have any chemistry come playoff time. I know that's overrated a little bit, but there's something to that.
You would think it's not like Doc is a coach who doesn't know, right? Like, I mean, it's just funny to me because, you know, Doc's the same guy who, remember when the Celtics played against the Heat in all those playoff series, and I think in the last game here that the Celtics lost, he only played 6. So, I mean, I guess he's going to get to the playoffs, and then all of a sudden he's going to play Kawhi and Paul George 45 minutes and Lou Williams 42, maybe? I don't know. I mean, their strength – I mean, the Clippers have a strong bench. But I feel like if they were trying this year, they'd be right there with the Lakers, but they're not trying.
Because, I mean, is there a difference in the home games?
I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, they should be at worst a 2 seed in that conference, and they're not.
I think that's where they're going to end up. And if they're a 2 seed and they meet the Lakers in the conference finals, every game is the same.
You think that's
building.
Where they're going to end up? I mean, they're only going to end up that way if they actually start playing Kawhi and Paul George together, which they're not.
I think that's what they're going to do headed into the playoffs to try to get some chemistry going. But I just don't know if it's too little too late when the Lakers have been coalescing all year long.
Yeah, which surprises me, by the way. I they've been a lot better than I expected. I thought there were a few pieces away, or at least a couple. I mean, I'm looking at you're at their half game out of second. That is pretty remarkable considering.
Yeah, that mean they have one of the really best trying. Records. They're right there. They have almost the same record as the Heat.
So. Yeah, so the Jazz are in second, a half game. I tell you, man, I loved that team before the season, and then they got off to the slow start, and everybody was kind of like, eh. But the Jazz roster is really good, and he's good, man. I mean, I know he looks like a villain in a Bond movie, but like
– No, he's a Batman villain.
Well, maybe. He can coach.
He's the one who hires Bane or the Joker and then gets double-crossed.
So I'm looking at it right now. Lakers are 4.5 up on the Jazz. We never talk about the West. The Clippers are right behind them. The Nuggets were another one that I loved before the season. I know a lot of people did, but the Nuggets and the Jazz. It's funny how this is, and then they got off to the slow start, and Mike Malone was all over them. He can coach too. It's funny. I'm looking at the top four now, and even with the Mavericks start, and even with Harden pounding the ball into the ground, and even with the Thunder being better than expected, the four teams up there are the four teams that we kind of expected, right? And it was sort of the debate, is it the flashy Lakers and Clippers, or is it kind of, you know, the really, really solid groups in Utah and Denver that the national media doesn't care about, right? And so I'm just curious if either of those two teams, the Jazz and the Nuggets, can break through, because I feel like the Lakers and the Clippers with their star power are better suited for the playoffs. So I don't know, but I know the league wants Lakers Clippers. They're going to do everything in their power for the officiating to make that happen.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't want Jazz Nuggets in the West.
nobody wants Jazz Nuggets. Like Nikias wants Jazz Nuggets.
Yeah, Nikias is the one guy, right? Like like you have to be like a basketball purist. To what Jazz Nuggets, like to watch, like, the, I mean, what are you looking for there? Like, is it Malik Beasley and, you know, and Joe Inglis? Like, that's.
I can't. I mean, you have. I can't name 6 Nuggets. I really can't.
They're all good, though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you can name 6. Come on.
I probably can't. Let's not try it.
Well, Porter's playing great now. Like, I mean, they've added a whole new dimension there. I mean, you know, a lot of people could just name Millsap, okay, and Jokic. But they've been really good. Anyway, so getting back to the Clippers and the Heat. What does tonight, before we close, for the Heat, no justice. I mean, we just assume that at this point. But what does tonight signify for you? Because the Heat, they're still struggling against bad teams at home and having to figure out, like, Houdini acts at the end, like Hero Houdini acts to win. Like, what does tonight mean against the Clippers?
I mean, the last quality win was the Thunder, right?
Yes.
And that feels like ages ago, which it wasn't, but
it was our watch party. Yeah.
But there's and a lot of people weren't paying attention at the party, which was funny. like they won and everyone looked up like, oh yeah, cool. Anyway, back to drinking.
Well, that means that's a good watch party.
Exactly. That's right. There was a whole table full of women that came for the watch party and completely didn't care about the Heat at all.
Look, you could have stopped the sentence at there was a whole table full of women. Come to our watch party. Exactly. Anyway, go on.
Listen, I've been to some 790 watch parties and that does not happen.
No, it does not. It was just Beast. Love you, Beast.
So go ahead. Love you, Tobin.
He's still there. Is Tobin the last person at 790?
Ethan. Sorry. Zaslow's still there. And keep going. Amber.
Keep going. Amber. We love Amber.
And that's it. Anyway, so they haven't had a really, really strong win in a while.
We need to add this pod, by the way, before I get any trouble. Keep going.
The Heat haven't had a really strong win in a while. So this would be, even with Paul George out, this would be a nice signature win on national TV. It would be a big deal. Do I think they win tonight? With the way they've been playing with fire a lot. They tend to play up the competition, which they weren't doing at the beginning of the year. They were just beating the brakes off the bad teams and playing good teams close. But lately, I mean, they're playing bad teams close. And a lot of the bad habits I feel are going to get exposed tonight, especially with a deep bench, because we've seen the Heat bench come in and kind of level out the starters or, you know, one unit kind of save the other. They have to play 10 guys deep tonight, and everybody has to play well to beat the Clippers. Yeah. And if they continue the stretch that they've been on, tonight's just going to be a really, really bad night.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there have not been any bad nights at home. That's the thing. Like, I'm waiting for one. I hate to say it, but I'm waiting for that. Because the Lakers was not a bad night. They could have won that game, and there was a call at the end where Jimmy should have been at the line for three, which could have tied the game. Although, let's be honest, with Jimmy down the stretch lately, Jimmy would have missed one of those three free throws. Like, well, I know everybody.
He should have got two shots in the ball.
Well, right. Well, that's true.
Because
he got fouled first. Well, he got fouled first, but then he got fouled again.
Yeah.
So it depends. I mean, and we're not saying this like as homers. Like the NBA said this. He got fouled twice on that play by LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, it either could have been two in the ball or he could have had three free throws. But, I hate to say this, and maybe Heat fans will be happy that I say this because, you know, I'm a jinx the other way. But I have a bad feeling about tonight. Like, I feel like the way the Heat have been playing, they're due for one where they just get blown out of the building, where the Heat don't bring the necessary energy, and this another team is just better. And let's be honest, as great as the Heat have been, and this is a testament to how hard Eric Spoelstra has coached them this year as opposed to what the Clippers are doing, the Clippers are more talented than the Heat. They just are. I mean, they were a finals favorite for most. I picked them to win the thing. They have, you know, two of the, I don't know, three best wings in the NBA, depending on the night. Depending on what you think Giannis is. Well, depending on what you think Giannis is. If Giannis is a wing or isn't a wing, I mean, you know, LeBron is still a wing. You know, what do we consider hard? I don't know what Harden is. Paul, that's a great debate for another day. Paul George versus Jimmy. You know, in the modern NBA, I would take Paul George because he's just a better shooter, as we've seen this year. It doesn't diminish Jimmy, but I think that the level's there. LeBron, again, when he's on, is his own category. But, like, I mean, to me, it's at this stage, it's Kawhi, it's Paul George, and it's Jimmy. As pure wings, because I don't know what Giannis is. I mean, he's just a freak he's a freak, as we know. But anyway, I don't have a great feeling about tonight. I think that what we've seen, and Giancarlo Navas of Heatbeat has pointed this out, like the Heat's, like, if you go inside the numbers, the Heat's numbers have gotten worse and worse and worse over time. And like you said, it's forced them to rally to beat bad teams at this stage. And so, you know, you face a team like this that, if they're healthy and intact, is going to be, I think, pretty motivated tonight. It is a Friday night game. They have showed up for the Lakers twice, and, you know, when the lights have been on, I don't have a great feeling about it, Alf. But we'll see. We'll talk about it more. All right, a couple things we got coming on. I want to tell you right after our sponsor. We got a couple of big announcements, but definitely check out Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm. Got someone there 24 hours a day. Go to onecalllegal.com. That's onecalllegal.com. They'll handle your case just about anything. And they're based here in North Miami, right off of the Golden Glades. We'll have more announcements with Seltzer Mayberg coming up soon. Been very supportive of us, and we do appreciate all of our sponsors because they keep us in business, whatever business that happens to be at this stage. Two announcements, though, that coming. One, we have a partnership with Miami Heat Beat for a new video that actually, it's 8 o'clock. I got to go because we got to release this thing. It's the Bucket Brothers song. It is, too, of course, a Post Malone song. Anybody can do a Post Malone song. Anybody, okay? Have you ever seen this on Twitter? Literally, it's like four pieces. It's the same damn song every time. So we did another pair, not we, but Brass Jazz, is John Kozan, Greg Sylvan, who known as Lefty Leif, and Giancarlo did something together. We are sort of co-promoting it. Miami Heat Beat is not under our umbrella anymore, although we do still share stuff, including hosts at times. They are under Blue Wire Pods, but we did this one together, so check that out. And also, I'm back writing again. I didn't really write this one. It's more of a transcribing, but it's kind of interesting. 10 teammates talking about Jimmy Butler and their first impression of him when he came down to the Heat. So check that out on 5reasonsports.com. All my columns this year are going to be sponsored by Servani Clothiers. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.